Very good morning to all of you. Hare Krishna. We're reading from Vrindavan Bhajan. As we described last night, a very beautiful, deep, reflective, thoughtful, enlightening prayer by our Guru Maharaj just after he retired from family life and went to Vrindavan, the perfect place for, as we said yesterday, being born, living and dying, to prepare his mission of serving his Guru Maharaj and spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. We'll read from verse 2 today.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srila Prabhupada writes, seeing that I have no money, everyone has left me, including all my family members, relatives, close friends, and brothers. However, although I am supposed to be unhappy, actually I am laughing. Indeed, sitting here alone in the holy abode of Vrindavan, I am laughing in great happiness. Who in this material life of so-called family, friendship, and love can said to really love one another? Where are my affectionate mother and father now? Where are the other near and dear ones? Where have all the elder relatives and close family members gone? Tell me. Who is there who can give me information about their whereabouts today? What is left of their dear family at present? Now it exists in name only. Om Agyan Timurandasya Ginangina Shilakaya Chuksurimilitam Jainatas Mayasi Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Shtapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Shva Padantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Mam Hrim Shrom Om Farom Tathaka Hathaka Keshe Dalat Padakalochana Vudhadaka Nakashvarsha Vishnu Namoshtate. These are very strong words indeed, but they're not meant to condemn spiritual relationships such as we are all enjoying as family members, friends, and society. We have our family of devotees, our wives, our husbands, our children. We have our friends, and we have our society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, so we should not misunderstand. It's not meant to condemn this type of relationship, but to strongly condemn mundane relationships, which, as we know, are based on our own personal desires for sense gratification. Those desires, those attachments that we have in this world, the relationships that we have in this world act to bind us just like a strong rope. You can tie somebody up with a rope. So these mundane relationships, as near and dear as they are, actually are to us, we have to hear from Sadhu the real nature of these relationships. Sadhu means who cuts our attachments. That's the actual meaning of Sadhu. In India, we address a holy person as Sadhu. Sadhu, please give me your blessings. Yes, I My blessing is that you become detached from material life. Most people don't want that. But we're all bound up by these attachments to our friends and family members and citizens. Very strong attachments. There was one American revolutionary hero. Those of you who are recently become American citizens, you're supposed to know this. We have our Chandra Bose. Isn't his name Chandra Bose in India? We have our heroes like that, or Gandhi, depending which side you were on. So this American hero, he said, I regret that I have but one life to give for my country. Little did he know that because of his attachment to the country of America, he's probably taken birth here several times the last centuries. But these relationships are all illusory. As near and dear as they are, we're speaking about mundane relationships, mundane family relationships. My mother, my father, my grandfather, my grandmother, my sons, my daughters, my grandchildren. They're all illusory. They're not real. They're real in the sense that they're there, but because they're temporary, they're considered illusory. There's a beautiful verse in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam that describes that just as in the river, because of the force of the current and the different waves, different little leaves and little sticks, little branches, because of the force of the waves, they come together and it kind of clumps. You see in the river, they come together and they float together for a while, like a family. The big branch, the little branch, the leaves, right? Like the banyan tree, our mature relationships. They extend a great distance, and we're very attached to them. One time I was being a bit rebellious. I went to go to the anti-war demonstration in San Francisco. The war was, and when I was young, we had the war in Vietnam. My mother took me aside. Don't go to that anti-war demonstration. Be a real American. Don't you know that one of your forefathers actually signed the Declaration of Independence? She took out that person, I forget his name. One of your forefathers, your great-great-grandfathers, was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence in America. Aren't you proud? Well, then I was a real anti-war. Eventually I joined the army. Well, it's the irony of material life. But these attachments go very strong, back hundreds and hundreds of years. But just as the Bhagavatam says, just as the due to the current, the little leaves come together and the branches and the twigs and the moss, and they come together like that, and they float down the river as one unit, Bhagavatam says, by the force of the same river, they're again separated. And Bhagavatam says, in the same way, due to our past karma and our desires, we come together as family members. And this is my family. Why is it my family? Because of my karma, my previous activity, be it pious or impious. And because of my family members' karma, be it pious or impious, we're very similar. And we come together because of our karma and the force of time. And we float along together as a unit, as a family. We become very attached. But then, due to the same current and the force of time, our karma and our time, we're again separated. So you look at the river, if you go down and study, you'll see that so many coming together, and then a few meters later separated, and another group comes together, and it's endless. It goes on and on and on and on. So, the same with our sojourn through material existence. Brahmanda Brahmati Konya Bhagivan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasad Bhai Bhakti Lat Bij. We cannot imagine how long we've been in this material world. Prabhupada says since time immemorial, doesn't even give a figure. Well, 1,000 births, or 10,000 births, or 10 million or 10 billion or 10 zillion. No, innumerable. From one universe to one species of life to different bodies. So many clumps. In each life, we have a mother, we have a father, we have a brother, we have a sister, we have a grandfather. So many. So which one do you identify? Which is the near and dear? The one you have right now. But are the others any less relevant on the material platform? No. It's been going on and on and on. There's a story in the Bhagavatam. I forget which canto, but there's a king and a queen, and they have, they're having trouble conceiving a child. And they get the blessings of a sage. A sage comes, and he has an apple. He says, you can eat this apple. He gives it to the wife. But let me say that the child that you conceive will be both the source of happiness and distress to you. That's the nature of this world. Anything that you get, anything that you become attached to, will be the source of happiness and distress. It's like the coin. You flip the coin. Heads or tails? I want heads. Well, you're also going to get tails. Because as much as you're attached to something in this world, when you lose it, to the degree that you were attached, you feel separation or suffering. It can be a watch. It can be a sari. It can be a car. It can be a friend. As much as you're attached, you feel that same intensity of separation. We're speaking about material life. And therefore, a lot of people conclude, why get attached? That's Buddhism. Buddhism is nihilism, voidism. You don't know material desires, because desire always results in suffering. You can enjoy it for a while, but the other face of the coin is when you lose it, it's painful. So why go through the process? Better just to become detached from all desire. But we know, of course, there's spiritual desire. And these things also happen on the spiritual platform. The gopis are very attached to Krishna. So when he leaves those poor girls in Vrindavan and goes to Mathura, their hearts break into 1,000 pieces. And the only way that they can maintain themselves is to remember Krishna Sharanam. They reenact his pastimes to remember him. And by remembering him, they feel his association. And on the absolute platform, that is a way of associating with the Lord. So the same principle holds true. But that separation, of course, it appears to be very sad, but actually because it brings remembrance of Krishna, it's actually the highest ecstasy. Vipralamba bhava. Separation from the Lord is the highest form of remembrance of spiritual life. But on the material platform, it brings great misery. So this sage, he said, I'll bless you to have a son, but he'll bring you happiness. But we have to be realistic. He's sadhu. He's speaking frankly, the naked truth. We call it the naked truth. Sadhus always speak very frankly. They're not out to flatter anyone. Very frankly. Yes, you'll have a son. He'll be the source of great joy, but he'll also be the source of great sadness. This is life, the facts of life. Oh, it's okay. So she conceived. Beautiful, and she was pregnant and she gave birth to the prince. A handsome young boy, I was going to say blue eyes and blonde hair, but this is India. With dark brown eyes and silk, smooth black hair, like we all have. Very handsome, like Abhishekji. Huh? Abhishekji. He looks like he was out of a demigod mold or something. I don't know. Even with braces, he's handsome. I asked him, are you eating spoons? What is this metal over your teeth? Handsome boy. But he knows he's not the body. He's not intoxicated. You know why? Because he's more serious about spiritual life than 99.99% of young boys his age, because this boy chants 16 rounds a day. For 1 year, since my last visit, he'd been chanting 16 rounds. He has a calendar, and he was marking all the days off until I came back. This is very nice. And he has a very beautiful little sister. Abhishek's my disciple, but his, I asked his sister, who's your guru? She said, Radhana Swami. She broke my heart. That's probably a better choice. But I said, but you're so young, how did you decide? She said, I didn't, my mommy chose him for me. But you can always change your mind till you're 10. But they're very attached. And he's a good brother. He takes care of her. They sleep in the same bed upstairs. And he has to tolerate all of her dolls and toys in the room. And they have one electric blanket. And he said that when he first got the electric blanket, he was so afraid because he thought if he slept in it, he would get electrocuted. So like that. You can imagine a boy like this. Probably more like this than blonde-haired, blue-eyed, black hair. He doesn't like to be made to mention his material form. He has a beautiful spiritual form, which is the real thing. 16 rounds a day. 2 hours a day. He chants his rounds upstairs after he gets back from school. Nice example. You all bless him that he can continue like this for the rest of his life. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So the king and queen, they had this beautiful boy, but as is the nature of life, a king in Vedic culture, he had many wives. He was, and kings were in the mode of passion. They ruled in the mode of passion. You can't rule in the mode of goodness. You won't get anything done. You have to divide and you have to conquer and you have friends and you have enemies, and in the palace there's intrigue and politics, and you know, like sometimes in the temples. So the other wives, they were jealous. They became envious, actually. Worse than jealousy is envy. Envy is like jealously personified, magnified 1,000 times. So they became very envious, and they conspired to actually kill the young child. These things go on even in modern times. So after some months, they poisoned that young boy, and he passed away. And then the prediction of the sadhu became true, that they felt so much grief and like that. So then in the king was lamenting and lamenting, and then the sage came back, as sages do, because their point is to enlighten us in our happiness and during our distress. But generally when we're in distress, we're more inclined to hear. We're more inclined to hear when we're in a distressful condition. So Narada Muni, I don't know who the sadhu actually was, he came back and he began preaching. So the king and queen, we just want to talk to him. We just want to talk to him. It's not possible, he's gone. No, but please. So the sadhu said, by my mystic power, you can speak. So the king said, my son, where are you? And the son said, excuse me, which father are you? And the father said, I'm the king, I'm your father. And a very beautiful part of the Bhagavatam, with a boy who's enlightened, he says, but I'm a jivatma. I've been traveling through material life since time immemorial. Many clumps have come together. I've had many fathers, I've had many mothers. I've been a mother, I've been a father, I've been a brother, I've been a sister, I've had brothers. So many. Which one are you? Which father are you? And by the words of his son, the king was delivered from ignorance. He said, ah, I understand. He realized. So like that, these relationships, material relationships, are, they're temporary, therefore we say illusory. Another nice little story that Prabhupada somewhat connected. He said there was once a cobbler, a poor man cobbler, he worked with shoes, and he had his family members. And he was always very, very nasty person. When any beggars would come, poor people would come to beg, he'd chase them away. He'd bark at them. Woof, 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 what are you doing here? Why have you come? Get away, get away. And sometimes he'd take a shoe and beat them when they came. So then he passed away eventually, and he took birth as a very, very poor person, and he himself became a beggar and began going door to door. And the irony, Prabhupada said, of life is that he came back to the same household which he used to be the master of the household, and when he came to beg, his sons took the same shoe and chased him away, beating him with the shoe. That was their father before. They couldn't recognize him because he'd taken another birth, and this was his karma, to be beaten by the shoes that he used to beat others with. So like that. One life, someone's a friend, and the next life, they're the enemy. So, it's hard to hear because, of course, these things don't concern us because our attachments to each other are meant to be spiritual and they have a different effect. But relationships in the material world, they're near and dear, but what is the basic principle? The principle is that relationships in the material world are based on material things. Someone's my friend because we like the same girls. That guy's my friend. Or we like the same boys. Or we like the same clothes. San Diego. I saw some kids. They were dressed in all black. They called it
Gothic.
I was petrified. I thought, oh my God, I've seen a real Yamaduta. They're dressed in complete black, and the girls were very pale, had dark red lipstick and black eyes. I was frightened. I don't know what their philosophy is. And then you have, the other day when I flew here, I was sitting to a very aristocratic woman, very nicely dressed, gold Rolex, diamond ring. And everybody in business class looked like that except me. And they have the same nature, so they associate with each other. We had a little talk. Of course, I wasn't dressed in devotee clothes, but a nice talk about life. And I said to her, who are you? What do you do? She said, sir, if I told you who I was and what I do, you would not believe me. Meaning she was a very prominent, important person. Like this, people have similar desires, so they come together as friends, and by karma as family members and even citizens. If you're very impious, you may take birth in a very poor country where you can't practice religion, where you're repressed by the government's policies, so many countries like that. Or if you're very pious, you may take birth in India. According to Lord Chaitanya, those persons who are most pious, they take birth in India and they stay in India. If you're a little impious, you have to get kicked out. You come to Seattle to deal with the cold weather. You know, you people are adapted to the warm weather. You have warm blood, not cold blood. You have to come here and live in Seattle, but you could dovetail it in Krishna consciousness, right? So this is material relationships. And what is the nature of sense gratification? It degrades us. Matirna Krishna Pratasvato Va. Because of their uncontrolled senses, persons too addicted to materialistic life, where do they go? They don't go upwards, they go downwards. Sense gratification, gradually we devolve. We don't evolve. Evolve means advancing spiritually. Devolve means advancing materially. Because as you advance materially, you gradually lose all your finer spiritual qualities. You have to forfeit them because you enjoy the senses, particularly sinful activity like meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex and gambling. These take away the finer instincts, the subtle ability of the living entity to perceive who he is spiritually, who is God, and what is his intimate relationship with God. You pay a high price You don't just pay the price for the beer over the counter. You don't pay the price for the prostitute. You don't pay the price for, you know, the money for eating the meat. You pay a greater price. You sacrifice your right to become an enlightened soul, because those activities gradually degrade and you go downwards. You take the high road, I'll take the low road. You'll go to heaven and I'll go to hell. That's how they say it here in America. As a science described in the Vedas. So sense gratification, as nice as it appears, of course some sense gratification is necessary because we have these bodies. We need to satisfy the senses, to keep the machine going so that we can utilize it to drive it all the way back to Goloka Vrindavan, the human form of life. We need to take proper care. But as Gandhi once said, the problem is not that people are taking according to their need, they're taking according to their greed. It creates an imbalance in nature, and therefore we have this massive environmental issue or problem. So, like Prabhupada gave the analogy, he said the moth, she's very attracted to the fire. She's thinking, this is what I want, and this is what I need. I want it all, and I want it now. So she flies around the fire thinking, this is my real interest. This is really what I want. I want to come closer and closer to this beautiful object. So she flies around, and she comes closer and closer, and the little bug becomes one of those little bodies you see the next morning after the hot summer. With the deer, she's in the forest, and she hears the sweet sound of the hunter's flute. Oh, because these animals, their ears are very sensitive, like dogs are very sensitive, nose or hearing. So the deers, they hear all the sweet sound of the flute. This is how I used to hunt. Interesting. The glimpse into the past. They used to hunt with the flute. Now they just get out there and they set a huge trap, you know. And then, they used to hunt with the flute and they'd make this very beautiful sound. I don't know how to make it, so I won't try to make it. And the deer would hear, and then she would come, and the moth gets entangled by his eyes. The deer becomes entangled by her ears. She hears the sound. Her senses led her to death. What is Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his prayer? All the senses are networks and paths leading to death. He actually says that in the Prasadam prayer. All the senses are networks of leading us to death. Spiritual death. By engaging in sense gratification, you don't achieve material death. Well, actually, you could decrease your duration of life, but we're talking about the chances for self-realization. Atmahana, the killers of the soul. Doesn't mean you can kill the soul, but the soul's ability to become self-realized. So the deer, the moth, then there's the elephant. How do you capture a huge male elephant? Huge elephant. How do you catch an elephant? That's hard. No, you dig a hole, huge hole, like the size of this room, and you place a female elephant who's in rut, which means that she's ready to conceive. And the nature's way, the male elephant can perceive this, so he senses her, I don't know how you say, and he comes running. The men, they build the big pit, and they put the female elephant on the other side of the pit, and they cover the pit with a net and some leaves, a little dust that looks like ground. And the elephant, the big male elephant, he comes to enjoy the female elephant. And just 2 feet away, boom, he falls into the pit. You've got yourself an elephant. Of course, I don't know how you get him out of there. I guess they have their ways. He was controlled by his genital. Ear, the eye, the nose, the tongue, the belly. Captured. And what's the other... A fish. He's swimming around, and the fisherman throws the bait. Behind the bait's a little hook. And like this, we become captured by our senses. So we come together for sense gratification to enjoy, but we think, my friend, it's not your friend. What's that famous bumper sticker in America? Friends don't let their friends eat meat. Because by eating meat, a heavy price, you pay heavy karma. So we think it's friendship because we like the same things. And it's all, of course, the nature of the soul is to desire these very personal, loving relationships. But we're misguided. And we come together and we enjoy the same things. And rather than elevating each other, we degrade each other. These are the facts of life. So what do? We dovetail. We choose our friends on the basis of spiritual things, spiritual society. We like the same songs. We like the same song. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Instead of coming together and hearing Bach or Beethoven and, you know, getting covered by the mode of mundane goodness or passion or ignorance. I don't know what the Gothic. I don't know what kind of music they listen to. I can just imagine.
Black metal,
yeah. They come together. They listen. We come together and we hear, we sing the bhajans of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Narottam Das Thakur. We sing the Maha Mantra. And that's real friendship. Deep, very deep. That really, because it's spiritual, those relationships can go very deep, very satisfying. Camaraderie on a spiritual platform. I couldn't imagine life without my friends like Bibi Govinda Maharaj and Radhana Swami and Ranjan Swami, Shivaram Maharaj. Those are real relationships. We've just begun, just the tip of the iceberg in our happiness of serving Guru and Gauranga. Hopefully that those relationships will go on many lifetimes and eternally in the spiritual world because they bring real satisfaction. They're not self-centered. They're based on service to Guru and Krishna. So like that, you can enjoy, but enjoy things of a spiritual nature. Enjoy service to the Lord. That's real friendship. Prabhupada's not condemning that in this verse. If you give up the other, you have to have this, otherwise you won't survive. And we come together as family members, wife and husband and children, and in a house like this, there's many wonderful photos. I was going to say paintings, but nowadays it's photos. Photos, and you go upstairs instead of Barbie dolls. She has Radha and Krishna, almost the same size as you. And you have, I saw Jagannath, Subhadra and Baladev. They're toys, but they're absolute. Just like Prabhupada, when he was young, his father gave him little deities of Radha and Krishna. How can a young boy appreciate what is Radha and Krishna deities? But he became attached to them, and that attachment later matured into a understanding of the divine nature of the arts of Vigraha, the form of the Lord. We also hear how Maharaj Parikshit, he had little deities that he played with. They play with him like toys, but the parents guide them, and that affection is directed to the Lord. Eventually it matures into a mature realization, understanding. So this is Krishna conscious family life, where the 10-year-old boys are chanting 16 rounds a day. The little girl says, I'm very attached to my brother. Good, because brother's setting good example. That type of attachment is good. To be attached to family members who are Krishna conscious. That is the source of our liberation. Therefore, even a sannyasi, stalwart sannyasi like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, I would have sex 1,000 times if it was guaranteed those children would become pure devotees of the Lord. It's a little hard making the transfer, transferring the affection we have for this world to the spiritual world. Especially because we can't see the things of the spiritual world. We can't touch them, taste them, see them, feel them. We can see all this, but our spiritual senses are not yet awoken. So it's hard just on faith to make that transfer. Well, if I give up this, are you sure? One time, Malati asked Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, is Krishna really God? And does he really have an eternal consort, Srimati Radharani? And are there cowherd boys and cows and beautiful rivers in the spiritual world and desire trees?" And Prabhupada looked at her and he said, "Do you think that I would cheat you?" That's all she needed to have full faith. Prabhupada said, "Do you think that I would cheat you?" So trust means to put your faith in something sublime. We put our faith in Hari Guru Vaishnava, on God, the Guru, and the Vaishnavas. We don't put our faith in mundane personalities who are in ignorance and engaged in these material sinful activities and bewildered, as arrogant as they may be. We put our faith in the Lord, in His instructions in Bhagavad Gita, in the ancient sages whose lives demonstrated how to practice Krishna consciousness, in Śrīla Prabhupāda, in our spiritual master, and all these things will be revealed. And we can take these strong attachments to mundane society, friendship, and love, and safely transfer them back to the original attachments of mundane, or not, of spiritual society, friendship, and love, and be happy in Krishna consciousness. We can make that transition. Even if previously the relationships were material, we can dovetail them and make them spiritual by the process of Krishna consciousness. Just like a piece of iron, cold steel. You put it in fire, you leave it for some time, you pull it out, that cold steel becomes like fire. So even if before we came to Krishna consciousness we were married for the wrong reasons, I mean, we're speaking strongly, I mean, we married, but then when we come to Krishna consciousness, we awaken our spiritual desires, that cold steel can be turned into the warmth of Krishna consciousness. Just like my brother, Peter, pumpkin eater, had a wife and couldn't keep her. I used to tease him all the time, I used to beat him up, I used to fight. Then we got into some sense gratification together. I won't mention because there's children here. When we were teenagers, he kept going. I joined the movement after just a few months of being naughty. My brother went on and on and on, became a drug addict. From 14 years old, he was a drug addict, heavy drug addict. And then he became homeless. You know the story because you read the diary. But, you know, he's my brother, and I'm not so advanced, so I had some brotherly affection there. We have our human nature. And I tried to keep track of him. I lost track of him. 20, 30 years went by. Rediscovered him. I won't tell the whole story now because you have to get to work. But brought him to Krishna consciousness with his wife and their two children. He had a change of heart, and they called that cold turkey. He gave everything up: smoking, drinking, drugs, and illicit sex. He gave it up in 1 minute. He said, "Maharaj, you know, I like this chanting. So I think I'm going to stop all that activity and chant 32 rounds a day." They call that cold turkey. You just stop. Nobody does it. You have to wean yourself off those things into Krishna. He just stopped because whatever. And then he never went back. It's been almost, 3 years now. Never went back to those activities. And for those of you who don't know, a year and a half ago he came to me and he said, "Gurudev." I said, "What?" "Gurudev." I said, "Gurudev." He said, "Will you initiate me?" "You're my brother." He said, "Well, I may be your brother." He said, "But how will you have faith in me as your guru?" He said, "Well, you delivered me from material life," he said. "So I have faith you can deliver me to Krishna in spiritual life." I thought that was a good realization. He said, "You delivered me from the hellish nature of material life." He said, "I have no why I obviously have some attraction, but I've given up all those sinful ways. He said, because you helped me, you taught me how to do it. So I have faith that you can take me on the spiritual path. So then we initiated him. He became, Peter Butter, pumpkin eater, had a wife and couldn't keep her. He became Braja Kumar Das Adhikari. And now he's preparing for his second initiation. And we had a Vedic wedding. And he's an avid reader of Chaitanya Charitamrita. He said, I love this book the most. This is my favorite book. I'm thinking, that was Bhakti Sadhana Saraswati's favorite book. And he's into the pastimes now of Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Ramananda Roy. And he's really learning it. He reads every day 2 hours. He chances around. It's like something you could put in Reader's Digest. You know those stories they have in Reader's? Something like that. I've mentioned this all before. But this is an example of taking a mundane relationship and by the power of Krishna consciousness, making it something transcendental. Every time we talk, Gurudev, please accept my most humble obeisances. All glorious Srila Prabhupada. Vancha kalpa turubhyascha. I have to wait, This is costing me a lot of money, this phone call, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. It's like $4. But so satisfying to see the transformation, as Sanatana Goswami said. Just as bell metal can be changed into gold by a mystical process, so a conditioned fallen soul can be changed into a Brahmana Vaishnava by proper training and diksha, spiritual initiation. It's miraculous. But we see it before our eyes so often in Krishna consciousness, so we have so much faith that we can actually dovetail. We can take those attachments, pumsha striya mituni bhavan tayomito hridaya granti maho. The attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. Based on this misconception which ties together the hearts of the male and the female, one becomes attached to his body, to the husband, to the wife, to the children, to the house, or the household paraphernalia. In this way, one increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of I and mine. The hard knot. But you can untie the knot, even if it's been in water. You have your shoes tied and you walk through water, you try to untie the knot, well, that's a real problem. But you can untie that Hridaya Granthi, that very hard knot of attachment to this world, by utilizing the same relationships in Krishna consciousness. So this is what Prabhupada will reveal. But first we have to understand how entangled we are, what is the illusory nature of these relationships. They're like the clumps which come together, and they're meaningless. So one day, one birth is the son, next birth is the father, next is the mother. You can't become attached to see it philosophically. And they're based on sense gratification, so they're degrading. So see the wife, see the husband, see the family members as spirit souls, see your friends as spirit souls, see your society as spirit souls, and base the relationships on Krishna consciousness and become liberated and go back home, back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada's Vrindavan Bhajan Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Gaura Premanandi.